الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created many blessings for us and among those blessings, ironically, among those blessings is the blessing of sleep. And sleep is something that we often don't think about because it's the lack of doing something. So much of deen is you should do this, you should do this, you should do that. And then the other component of deen is we should avoid this and avoid that. So there's these good deeds that we perform, and there's these sins that we try to avoid. But we don't think about sleep as an actual act, because when a person sleeps, they're not doing anything. In fact, if anything, they're shutting off. So this is something that we don't think about enough, but this is one of the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for us. And we take countless benefits from sleep. Now first, before we even begin, why is it a blessing? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enumerates it amongst His blessings in the Qur'an. Allah states in the Qur'an, وَجَعَلْنَا نَوْمَكُمْ سُبَاتَ And we made your sleep as a rest. So immediately we learn that sleep, despite the fact that it's a lack of action, and despite the fact that we're quote-unquote doing nothing during it, it is actually something that has been bestowed upon us as a blessing, and in particular is a means by which we can rest. There's so many discussions about sleep, honestly. There's so many issues related to sleep that we can discuss, let's put it that way. And we don't have the time because I don't want to go into a very lengthy discourse. But if you just look at even what science today proclaims about sleep, it's, subhanAllah, it provides so many different benefits that we underappreciate but are necessary for our development. For example, one of the very interesting things, now this is physical but it applies to spiritual as well, one of the things that the scientists mention about sleep is that they say that among the numerous benefits of sleep is that it protects. Among the numerous benefits of sleep is that it protects. Okay. Now they give examples, and you could pick up any textbook of sleep and you can read about this. And the protection that they refer to, they're thinking, you know, historically, that when a person sleeps, they would retreat to some sort of enclave. And when they retreat to that enclave, they're much less likely to be pursued by their predators. Meaning, for example, let's say we were cave people. Okay. So we live like 2,000, 3,000, 5,000 years ago, whenever, and people are living in caves or they're living in these isolated villages. So when people sleep, they tend to find a place that's safe. For example, a cave person would go retreat to their cave and would sleep in the cave. Now, what does that do? That protects, because once a person's in a cave, their predators can no longer come after them. They're relatively isolated from the dangers that are present in the outside world. So scientists mention that one of the benefits of sleep is that it protects. Interestingly, if you wanted to take that one step further, we could also apply that spiritually. Because one of the big benefits of sleep is that it protects against sin. Right? I mean, deen is very simple. Person takes shahada, they now have an opportunity to earn jannah. They have to do a few good deeds and they have to avoid some bad deeds. So in their free time, if a person's sleeping, they won't be able to perform a sin. It is an enclave from sin. Now, from the time that people sleep, there's no assigned ibadah. Let's say people sleep at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock at night, and then they sleep until Fajr time, right? Roughly, let's say before sunrise. There's no ibadah per se that's been assigned during that time. There's supererogatory acts of worship. Those are separate. I'm not going there. But there's no required ibadah that occurs during that time. But in that window, there's a tremendous amount of opportunity for sin. Many people sin occurs at that time. That's the time that people are out doing A and B and C and pursuing A, B, and C. And the most dangerous time for a person who has a propensity to sin is that nighttime period. That's when people, tend to let their guard down, and that's when Shaitan tends to take advantage of people. So it's interesting because I'm reading this, scientific discussion of sleep, and they're talking about historically how it protects. And then I'm thinking in my mind, subhanAllah, even just as much, there's this predator Shaitan, whose henchmen particularly like to, roam the nights. And a person who sleeps during that time, that is a protection from sin. So it's a good thing to sleep, because I'll just tell you right now, in this day and age, we're so distant from the people of piety, and we're so distant from the time and places of piety, that honestly, it's like running the clock, Like, we have shahada, we pray our prayers, good enough, just let the clock run. We're not trying to score on the opponent. We're just trying to run the clock down and just win with the ball in our hand, So sleep is a good thing in that way. It protects. Another benefit that it protects from is that, we're so, how do I even explain this? We're so distracted. Even the pious amongst us, we're all so distracted. Even the people striving, we're so distracted because we're constantly on our gadgets, And like I'm telling you, as you're aware, there's no wahi coming on those gadgets. There's nothing new on those gadgets that's necessary. They're just time killers. End up wasting 98% of our time. Maybe you do 1 or 2% something useful on there, but the vast majority of it, if you actually sat down and took a complete accounting, which actually will occur unfortunately one day, but if we sat down and took a complete accounting of what we do during our waking hours, especially on our devices, it's just going to be a sad state of affairs if someone were to hold us to that. So one of the big benefits of sleep is that it shuts us away from the things that make us ghafil, the things that make us heedless. And that's important because we don't have the ability to, these are addictions. It's funny, it's not funny, but it's a point that when people go to addiction clinics, and particularly when they check you in, like there's these places, these treatment centers, where people will go for a week or 2 weeks or 5 weeks. And I will tell you that when you look at the regimen that they have in those addiction centers, one of the most important parts of the regimen is sleep. Not because they think that a person needs 9 hours of sleep a day so they can do this and this and this, because they know that when those people are sleeping, they're off their addiction. They're off their addiction. So what about the people addicted to dunya, or addicted to their devices, or addicted to their gadgets, or addicted to looking at things they shouldn't look at, or listening to things they shouldn't look at, or being involved in things they shouldn't be involved in? It protects us from sin. It protects us from ourselves. It protects us from our gadgets. It creates it's a safe space for us. It's a safe space. So this is one of the first blessings associated with sleep. وَجَعَلْنَا نَوْمَكُمْ سُبَاتًا. Sleep has been made as a time of rest. It is a time when a person can rest from the temptation of sin. It's a time when a person can rest from the ghafla that occurs in their life. It's honestly a time when they can rest against their own nafs, because nafs is also constantly waging war on us. So that's one of the first benefits of sleep. Another benefit of sleep: when a person sleeps, the memories of the day are processed, deciphered, and then transmitted to more permanent, or deleted from more permanent memory. This actually is a really important point that we should all be aware of as we try to achieve and strive in our deen. Scientific studies totally support this idea. So what happens is we have this little area in our brain called the hippocampus. I mean, we don't need to get technical, but I'll just use the name because it's a technical name. We have a little area in the brain called the hippocampus, which captures memory. But that memory is relatively short-term. It then needs to be processed and placed in a more permanent storage facility in the brain as well. Now, when a person sleeps, what happens is that which is in the hippocampus gets further processed and then eventually moved into other areas in the brain. So that if a person is trying to capture something, then by sleeping on it, they increase their capacity to be able to eventually transmit that to permanent memory. Okay, so why would that be important? Because all of us are students in some way, shape, or form. Either we're students of, you know, the knowledge that's required for us to succeed at work, or we're students of Dean. All of us are students, you know, obviously we want to be students and have an interaction with the Holy Quran. So in many ways, we're constantly trying to learn. And learning is something that occurs from the cradle to the grave. Now, a person who's going to be most successful in learning is the one who works hard, maximizes the amount that they can process into their brain, sleeps on it, lets the brain reset, wakes up, and then recaptures the next set of information that they need to learn. This is a very important technique in, for example, the case of children who are memorizing Quran. It's a really important technique in the case of children who are memorizing Quran. So, for example, a child who's memorizing Quran, one of the tricks, not tricks, but one of the methodologies by which a person can maximize their memorization is that they memorize as much as they can the night before. So, for example, you know, they come home from school, they relax, they do whatever they have to do, and then they start memorizing from like 9 to 10 at night, let's say. And then the next thing is have the kids sleep on it. Have the child sleep on it. Don't let them do anything else after that. Don't tell them, okay, now you can go and read Harry Potter and then you can go to sleep. Just have them fill that hippocampus at the last thing that they do and then have them sleep on it. Now what happens is when they wake up in the morning, it's very easy for them to be able to recall that and eventually put the pieces together, you know, which we call, you know, like piecing together what they cut in. And then eventually they're able to slowly build on that over time. And even more beneficial for everyone who's trying to pursue any type of knowledge is to actually maximize the day from Fajr until Dhuhr. Go to sleep after Dhuhr or before, but before or after. Sleep for like 20 minutes and then wake up and then make a whole new day of it. Make a whole new day of it. And I can tell you that, you know, this is like the schedule that is traditional at the Islamic institutes of learning in history. Based on the sunnah, by the way, this is the sunnah, obviously. So what would happen is, for example, if you go to a traditional Islamic institute of learning, even to this day, the kids, they start their classes at Fajr, half an hour after Fajr. I mean, they pray Fajr, they eat breakfast, they start classes. The classes go all the way up until like 11, 11:30. Okay? So they spent all this time learning all this material. I mean, these are intense classes for long periods of time. Then what happens is they give the kids lunch. They tell the kids to take a nap. They wake the kids up and they pray Dhuhr. And then after they pray Dhuhr, they begin their classes again. And then they have like a whole nother opportunity to relearn material. And what that does is that actually makes one day into two. I can tell you because I experienced it in my own life. I mean, I've been in many different rigorous academic settings from undergrad to med school to residency, but I don't recall experiencing any more efficiency or any greater efficiency than I experienced when I was sitting in the, you know, the dirt floor of the madrasa and studying with the students there. And they were on this schedule. And this was like the perfect schedule. SubhanAllah, it was so powerful. And you know, the beauty of making them sleep before Dhuhr is that then there was a binding thing to wake them up. There was a binding event to wake them up. So what would happen is they would sleep, but they could only sleep because they would eat lunch, and no one's going to be in a crazy rush for lunch because everybody's hungry. So they eat lunch. And then there was only about 40 minutes before they would have to get up and then make wudu and then pray. And the interesting thing is they would sleep, they would get up, make wudu, pray. And at that time, when they would do class after Dhuhr, they would be so fresh. You know, I mean, I teach medical students, so I can tell you that, you know, I mean, these are medical students supposed to be top students, you know, in the country in certain instances. They're all sleeping after lunch. They get so tired, you know. You sit in the back. I sit in the back of the classroom, you know, when I'm overseeing classes, and you see, like, you know, people are doing this, like, they're not doing liquor. they're falling asleep because it's like they just had a big lunch and they're, you know, they're like all the whatever insulin, et cetera, is all over, and they're getting very sleepy, and the 2/3 of the blood has gone to the stomach and is diverted away from the brain. So there's all this, like, physiology to, like, you know, how people get sleepy. And actually, it's interesting if you just even want to just study this, you know, you look at, like, car accidents, the rate of car accidents per hour during the day. So it's like 7 a.m., 8 a.m., 9 a.m., 10 a.m., 11 a.m., 12 a.m. There's a basal rate, which varies, you know, fluctuates hour by hour until eventually you get to, like, 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock, there's a peak. There's a peak that occurs from, like, 1 to 3. Just look at any data about car accidents and the timing in which car accidents occur. And it's because from 1 to 3, people are eating, and then their head is bobbing, and they're falling asleep behind the wheel. Because, you know, that time tends to be a time when human beings are not designed to be awake. Not that they're supposed to be sleeping all day, but there's efficiency built into the human being such that they actually need to take a break during that period of time. And when a person takes a break during that period of time and takes a nap, then that allows the brain to reset. It allows all of the neural connections and all of the physiology of the human being to fall back into sync, and allows a person to maximize on their time. So, again, I'm just getting into this very basic principle that sleep is actually a blessing upon us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created sleep as a blessing for us, and it provides us with many benefits, and we should be grateful for that. Now, another benefit to sleep is that they clearly show that sleep encourages creativity. People who are into something, when they sleep, there's something that happens in the brain that allows them to make connections that they can't necessarily make when immediately viewing that thing. You know, I can give you an example. We use this in our society as well. When somebody has to do something or make a big decision or review some important document, you know, they'll use this phrase. They'll say, I'll sleep on it. Let me sleep on it. They're trying to decide. It's a business deal. They want to buy a house. They want to purchase a company. They're writing a big document and that needs to, you know. So they'll say, I'll sleep on it and get back to you. So it doesn't mean that they're going to, like, sleep and then all of a sudden some sort of magic is going to occur in that sleep and they're going to solve the problem. But there's something about the brain that there's activity even when it appears that there's no activity, which allows a human being to generate some degree of creativity and be able to maximize on what they're trying to achieve. And so the ulama and the mashayikh, because they were so focused on deen, they also recognized that there was a certain benefit that arose even in sleep. I'm not saying sleeping for hours upon hours, but, you know, sleeping the amount that the body needs. And this is something that we should also appreciate, that when a person gets appropriate rest, they just are able to put things together that they can't necessarily see or achieve or capture when they're not sleeping regularly. And then another benefit to sleep that's interesting is that when a person sleeps, they grow. Now, this is like the thing that you tell little kids, you know, when they won't go to bed at night or when they won't take a nap. If you don't sleep, you're not going to grow, you know. But actually, it's true. Not that they won't grow. That's not true. But what is true is that when a person sleeps, there is some growth hormone that's released. So what that means is that the body recognizes that growth hormone has more physiology than just merely the growth of the human being. There's a lot of repair of tissues and other things that occurs when a person sleeps. So yes, technically growth hormone is increased and it increases the growth slightly. Not during that particular sleep, but in general. But it also allows a human being to be able to repair and regenerate themselves. It allows a human being to be able to repair and regenerate themselves. And that's important because remember, we're all machines. We're not trying to run this machine to the ground, you know, in 20 years. We're trying to drive this machine over the next 80 years. You know, inshallah, if we live 80 years or 70 years or 90 years or 50 years, whatever it might be. And the goal isn't to drive the machine to the ground in 20 years and then spend the next 30 years, you know, suffering and unable to do the things that we want to do. The goal is to be consistent. So like I always say, it's not a race, it's a marathon, which means that the body needs to be kept healthy across a very long period of time so that we can maximize the efficiency of the body over that period of time. And one of the major ways by which that occurs is through sleep. When a person sleeps, they remain healthy. And when they remain healthy, they're much more effective in what they do, which means that they'll be able to worship Allah in a more effective way, and they'll be able to maintain their deen in a more effective way, and they'll be able to help to preserve the deen of others in a more effective way. Now, you want to see what happens when the blessing of sleep is removed? You don't have to look very far. It's such a common disease in this day and age. The inability to sleep appropriately, the inability to sleep deeply, the inability to sleep properly. And you'll see that people are suffering from this. And, you know, the solution that's thrown around in everyday society is, well, maybe it's your pajamas. You know, maybe it's your bed sheet. You need bed sheet that keeps you cool and wicks away the moisture. And maybe it's your mattress, you know, it's your wife's fault. She likes a hard mattress and you actually need a soft mattress. So now why don't you get a mattress that actually lets each of you set the setting, you know, on your mattress. And so they have all these like different ideas about sleep. But you know why these things sell? Because people aren't able to sleep. I mean, you don't need to have anything to sleep. The people have been sleeping historically for thousands of years. They didn't need any special mattress to sleep or any kind of special bed sheets to sleep. There's been barakah in sleep from the beginning, and there'll be barakah in sleep from the end. But the problem is when people lose balance in their life, what ends up happening is that sleep gets disrupted. And when sleep gets disrupted, it becomes a torture. Because now the brain cannot reset. Now the learning gets disrupted, memories get disrupted, your health gets disrupted, your mood gets disrupted, your ability to function gets disrupted. It becomes a huge problem. It's such a blessing. It's such a blessing. The mashayikh and the ulama, the sweetness of their sleep is such a blessing for them. You know, it makes that when they wake up, they do shukr. And when they go to bed, they do shukr. So this is something that we should see as a blessing, and we should take advantage of a blessing, and we should appreciate it. And there's so many critical components to sleep. It's it's one of the things that the Sharia, or I should say the Sunnah, puts a lot of emphasis on. You know, there's discussions about making wudu before a person goes to sleep, and reciting certain dua before a person goes to sleep, and timings that a person should sleep, and you know, the side that a person should lay on when they sleep, and the direction that they should face when they sleep, and the things that they should do before they sleep, and the things that they should do when they wake up from sleep, and when a person can sleep, and when a person can't sleep, you know, or should sleep and should not sleep. Let's say it that way. Obviously, everybody can sleep whenever they want, but when a person should and should not sleep. And all of these are blessings. You know, it's such a blessing in this complex science of sleep, which, you know, honestly, it's going to take another who knows how many centuries before we continue to understand the depth of sleep. But we have all of this given to us. You know, the Sunnah teaches us, or at least the Sharia teaches us, you can't sleep during the time of prayer. You need to be awake. Then you could sleep during these other times because there's no prayer in that window. Even that much is a blessing. It makes it so clean and clear for us that we need to be up in the morning. You know, if anybody wants to debate, should a person wake up at 6 a.m., there's no debate in our mind. We don't have to have that discussion or do that experiment or have anybody prove to us or disprove to us why they should or shouldn't wake up. I can just guarantee you blanket statement that every human being should be up at the time of Fajr, that there's barakah in that. And a blanket statement, I can say that taking a nap in the middle of the day, there's barakah in that because Rasulullah ﷺ did that. And that was something that was encouraged. And blanket statement, sleeping, you know, shortly after Isha, there's barakah in that. There's no even question in my mind about those things. But the reason that there's no question in my mind is because those are established by the Sunnah or the Sharia, depending on the circumstance. So it's such a big blessing for us. If anything, even just the first point I made, Alhamdulillah, there's a time when we can find protection. Otherwise, where do you find protection? Like, you go in your home, nobody's protected anymore because they have their computers. You come in the masjid, nobody's, you know, it's difficult to find protection because we have our cell phones. We're just constantly bombarded. There's no escape. But sleep, alhamdulillah, you shut your eyes, everything resets. Person can make tawbah before they sleep. They can reset their connection with Allah. They can make dua. They can go to bed and they can wake up with a new chance. Which, that in and of itself is a big blessing, to wake up with a new opportunity. There's a lot to say about sleep. And again, like I said at the very beginning, my intention is not to make this some sort of lengthy discourse. But I think that we should, you know, part of being grateful is to appreciate the things around us. And I think people don't appreciate sleep until they can't have it anymore. Or it's not working for them. You know, or they're not able to sleep. And then I see this very commonly. People come and they say, you know, I'm not able to sleep. I'm having this problem and that problem and this problem and that problem. And then you start saying, subhanAllah, you know, what a great blessing one night's worth of sleep actually is. So we should be grateful to Allah. We should be thankful to Allah. We should appreciate that blessing. We should try to learn the sunnah associated with it. And we should try to maximize on it because it is a necessary component of our day. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who are truly able to attain rest during our sleep. And may He make us among those who are able to maximize on the time in which we're awake. Wa akhira da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.